Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. New York Post sports columnist Kevin Kernan has been working in the clubhouses of the Big Apple for decades, so he's seen his fair share of Yankee managers come through town: Billy Martin, Yogi Berra, Lou Piniella, Joe Torre. But the Yankees, who spent the 80s employing sometimes three managers a year, have found an era of relative stability over the past 15 years, first in the championship Torre era, and now with former Torre bench coach Joe Girardi in his fifth year as skipper. Girardi's tenure has been a mixed bag. Often evasive with the press, Girardi has been criticized for relying on a binder of statistics to aid in his decision-making. But he also returned the World Series trophy to New York in 2009 after a decade of playoff failures. Kernan's new book is Girardi, Passion in Pinstripes, which is published by Triumph. Kevin Kernan, welcome to the Roundtable.
Great to be with you, Ian.
How do you find your dealings with Joe Girardi? As I mentioned, he doesn't give too much away to the reporters covering the team, which I imagine has to be somewhat frustrating at times.
Yeah, it really is, especially for a lot of writers in New York, because, to be quite honest, you know, a lot of writers take themselves way too seriously, and they don't put themselves in the other guy's shoes. And I think that's why I've had success all the years of doing this. And with Girardi, once you understand, Joe Girardi is about two things. He's about family and trying to do things right. You know, he comes from a family, very tough upbringing, in the fact that it was a great family, but they had some hardships, including a mom getting ovarian cancer when Joe was 13. So Joe is trying to make the Yankees into a family, and he's also got a football coach mentality, so he tries to keep everything in-house. But Joe will never throw a player under the bus, and he will never really give you too much information. Michael Kay, who does the Joe Girardi show on Yes with Joe, and is very close, probably the closest guy in the media with Joe, you know, he told me when I was doing interviews for this book that they'll do a show, and even if a player move is going to be made, like when the show airs, like 3 hours later, if it's a tape show, Joe still will not tell him anything and will not really give his hand out. And that's Joe. Once you understand that, there's ways to go around it. When Joe says certain things, it's almost like it's like a coach declaring to the heavens, we're going to do this. So you just have to read the person, and that's Joe. And I find him entertaining in a way, because he can be so mystifying and behind the scenes. But once you understand that he's about family, trying to keep the Yankees together as a family, and he's got a football mentality, it's pretty easy to read him.
I wonder, how much were we spoiled by the Torre years? There was no one better at talking to fans and media, even though he, like Girardi, might not give you any information than Joe Torre. Now you have Girardi come in, and it's a different ballgame.
Totally different ballgame, and that's what the Yankees wanted. And you got to understand, Brian Cashman, the general manager of the Yankees, he's more of a new wave GM, and he was there all the years. He came in as an intern with the Yankees a long time ago, 20 years ago, basically. He basically was there through all the Torre years, through the championships. But Brian wanted to get a manager who was very technology based and looking at the new statistics. That was not Joe Torre. Joe Girardi is that person. He has an engineering degree from Northwestern, so he will delve into numbers, and he will not only numbers that he comes up with, but he'll have numbers that, you know, obviously the Yankees have a battalion of people upstairs, basically on the computer, checking things out all different ways, and those numbers are fed into their computer technology, and then it comes out and it becomes magically Joe's binder. So Joe will look at that binder. He'll always go with the numbers, very rarely goes with his gut feeling in those situations, because he thinks, like any engineering student, the numbers really pan out in the long run. And that works great, you know, when your information is good, but things change, and I think sometimes it can create a problem for him, and I think that's his biggest stumbling block as a manager, sometimes relying too much on numbers. And I think he's changed a little bit about that, because he said, you know, sometimes I spend my whole life along this rail. So, you know, when he's along the rail, the managerial rail in the dugout, all that stuff is going through his head. He thinks about everything. When he was a TV broadcaster, he would bring more to the booth than anyone ever saw before in broadcasting. He would know about the third string catcher. He would know about the minor leagues. That's Joe. And to me, I don't think you can really get on a guy for being data-based if the numbers do pan out in the long run. And I think even though he struggled that first year, it was a big transition year. And as Jason Giambi, former Yankee first baseman, said, as soon as Joe took over, they knew it was different because he tried to run him into the ground in spring training, meaning Joe Girardi, where Joe Torre was a little bit looser. And then Joe wanted to put his own stamp on his team. And I think the Yankees have not been a great team the last few years, and I think Joe Girardi has gotten more out of this team than you could possibly get. I think they have a lot of holes. Joe Torre's teams were fantastic. The great thing about Joe Torre was, you know, after a game, you know, like 30 of us used to pile into Joe's managerial office. And again, he's in his office. There's books on the shelves. You got Don Zimmer's helmet from when he got hit with a foul ball, a World War II era helmet. So there was that personality in Joe. Joe Girardi, and this is what the Yankees won. Joe Girardi does his post-game press conferences, you know, at a podium with an ad behind him for somebody that the Yankees are associated with. It's a very cold, stark, unfriendly place. And Joe Torre would sit there and talk with you. You know, there would be give and take. You'd have some fun. Now, you can do that sometimes with Girardi on the road, but for the most part, it's just a question and answer session. So in some ways, Girardi is hamstrung because he's doing things that Torre never would have agreed to do. But then again, Torre's personality is like, you know, you sit around, you talk to him, you feel like you're visiting your father, you know, a very calm, erudite kind of guy, always has a little fun. With Girardi, it's more like a little bit more uptight situation because that's his personality, because he cares so much about people and he cares so much about winning and losing that he's always thinking about that. Whereas Torre would relax a little bit, you know, he'd think about maybe the horses. So you could have a little fun with Joe Torre. Girardi can have a little fun, but nothing along the same lines. Totally different personalities. But again, that's what management wanted. They wanted a numbers guy who would come in here and work with upper management. Torre basically told them to stuff the numbers, and that's why he's out. And that's in a nutshell the difference between the two guys.
The famous quote from Torre is, "Don't forget that this game has a heartbeat." And with Girardi, I wonder, you know, mm-hmm. Torre, he lived in those pinstripes for 12 years. He loved every aspect of being a Yankees manager, and he certainly became rich and famous and one of, you know, the great Hall of Fame managers with the Yankees. Girardi, I almost feel as if there's going to be some sort of block between connecting with the fan base the way Torre did with Girardi. He was a good Yankee. He won titles there. He had a huge hit in the World Series in 96 against Maddox. But there seems to be, even after that 09 championship, this absence of warmth between the fans and Girardi. I don't know how you fix that, even if you've won a World Series.
You know, that's a great point, and I can give you the short answer. They won't be able to fix it. It's not going to happen because he looks at it totally different from approach than Torre, because his warmth, his love is with the players. Torre, as David Wells found out, Torre could be cutthroat in situations if you really weren't his guy.
Nothing of Ruben Sierra.
Yes, exactly. You know, there's famous stories in Yankee lore about, like, you know, remember when Roger Clemens was on his one of his sojourns back with, you know, with the Yankees, and he'd time off and this and that, you know, he'd be gone, you know, okay, whatever you need. And Wells would go in and ask, "Hey, I got something going on." "No, you know, you can't go away. You're here." You know, so Torre had a different approach to it. He felt if his guys were loyal to him, he'd be super loyal to them. Girardi takes the approach that all these guys are here. He almost takes a father, motherly type aspect into that, very protective of his players in that clubhouse. And here's the interesting thing, and I talked to many of the players about this, and they just simply adore the guy. I mean, even Posada, for his problems with, and they go back to when Girardi kind of replaced him. And Torre has a funny line in the book because he talks about how he talked to Zimmer and wanted to bring Girardi in as a player. And he goes, he knows that, and that really upset Posada because that's, you know, held back Posada's growth as a player. But Torre knew he needed that player, so he made that leap. And you mentioned it, Girardi got the big hit that kind of set this dynasty in motion in 1996. But I talked to guys like Alex Rodriguez, all the way through Teixeira, and they all said the same thing, basically. And Alex made a great point. He says, "Joe will never just walk up to me and say, you know, Alex, how you swinging to, you know, how you swinging the bat, how you feeling, blah blah. He always, when we talk, his first thing is, you know, how are your girls, Alex? How are they doing? How are the kids? You know, basically family. And he's made family into the clubhouse. He's allowed the players to bring their family into the clubhouse, and that was a thing where Torrey was more old school. This is off limits to the family. You know, this is a separate place. This is our place. And so Girardi has that love and adoration of his players, but I don't think he'll ever get it from the public other than, you know, very coldly by winning another championship. A second championship, I think, really would really put him in you know, the hearts of the fans. But Torrey was so special in everything that he did. And he had a knack for it. I mean, if you have Torrey on your show, you walk away thinking he's your best friend. Of course, 10 minutes later, he may not know who you are, but that's the difference in the people. Whereas with Girardi, you know, is, and again, they're both great in their own way. I'm not slamming either guy, but Girardi is a different kind of guy.
You know, one thing I learned from the book is that the sneaking suspicion, Joe Girardi was drafted by his hometown Cubs, and he's had a huge connection to that city throughout his entire development from college on. There's a feeling that the Yankees manager's job, as good as it is, might not be his dream place. Do you foresee a day when he goes to the Cubs and leaves the Yankees behind?
Yeah, that's another great point, and I really do. If not the Cubs, somewhere in the Midwest. You know, he talks about in the book how he got to play for such great organizations when you think about it, you know, the Yankees, the Cubs, and he played a short time with the Cardinals and also with the Rockies. I think there's going to come a time when his kids are a little bit older. I think he's such a family man now, and he would never disrupt his kids from school and things like that. And he loves this job. He really does, even though he looks like he's getting older by the moment right in front of us. And he looks sometimes like he's tortured. But I think there's going to come a time in his career where he'll want to manage in a much more peaceful place. Now, that could be the Midwest. I think he would love to be the Cubs manager. You know, he talks about it in the book about going to Cubs games with his dad. His dad brainwashed all the kids into becoming Cubs fans. His dad was held a number of jobs, including a mason, a traveling salesman, had his own restaurant at one point. But he says he just loved going to Cubs games and eating pizza, you know. so he loves to have those father-son, father-daughter moments with his own kids. And I think there's going to come a time in his career, especially if things turn south here, because let's face it, the Yankees are getting older. It's more difficult for them to compete every year because they can't sign the players that they really want to sign. And some of the moves that have been made have backfired. So I think there's going to come a time in his career where he just wants to manage without the hassle and all the eyes of New York and maybe get back to his Midwest roots, because his wife Kim also is from there. They met in college at Northwestern. And I could see that happening. In fact, this year I went to a Bulls game against the Knicks, and lo and behold, I ran into Joe and his family, and Joe's a huge Bulls fan, you know. So he's got those Chicago roots, and like anyone, who doesn't want to go home again? Baseball's all about going home. It's so special to always come home as a player and a manager that I see Joe doing that someday.
And we should remember that Girardi is only 47, so he's got a lot of years left if he wants him in baseball. We've been speaking with New York Post sports columnist Kevin Kernan. The name of the book is Girardi, Passion in Pinstripes, and it's out by Triumph Books. Kevin Kernan, what a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Really enjoyed it, Ian. Thanks for the insightful questions.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.